This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
He brings the passion.
For what? I want to know now. I'm mentally invested. Don't tell me to pray and you don't say what for.
He brings the perspective.
Yeah, I think they both have a great point.
Get off me, text line.
He's truly one of a kind.
That is whack.
Oh, my God.
Oh. And he's doing a great job.
Okay. I need you to man up and say what you really want to say.
Simon, you're doing a great job.
And together, they are Stymie and Guru.
Yeah.
On 95.7 The Game.
All righty. Good morning, everybody. Matt Steinmetz and... Don't say a word. Don't say a word.
I don't want to hear a single syllable about Daryl the Guru Johnson today.
No goo today.
I'm out.
He's got some issues that we're wishing him well on.
Yeah.
For sure. So
keep me in your thoughts.
You know Evan Giddings well, and he will be in for the next 4 hours. So welcome to everybody.
I'm looking forward to having some fun today, Steinie.
Oh, yeah. We're going to have fun. There's no doubt about it, but... You brought something to my attention that's kind of starting to hit home. And I want you to tell people who you talked to yesterday about Christian McCaffrey, if you don't mind. Because I think we all maybe sense this, but it's kind of, I don't want to say official, but go ahead.
Well, I just think there's reason to believe that Christian McCaffrey's not going to be with the 49ers for probably the first half, if not longer, of this season. And like, I had a chance to speak yesterday with Dr. David Chow, and you guys actually met him in Las Vegas. He came over during Radio Row. So you guys have met him as well. And of course, he's, you know, been a team doctor in the NFL for nearly two decades. He knows his stuff, and just reached out to him, had a conversation, and he basically was like, you know, I think there's been a lot of, I don't know, questions around what exactly McCaffrey is doing in Germany. Everyone knows he's in Munich. Everyone assumes that he's going to get some sort of procedure done. So I just straight up asked him, I was like, what does this mean? You know, I think there's the Kobe comparison,
sure,
but that was for a knee. The only two countries I believe you're allowed to engage in this, it's like a platelet-rich enriching procedure. You spin blood, and then you reinsert it back into the... you know, the injury area. I don't want to get too specific, but it means that you're going to be out for 4 to 6 weeks once you get that procedure done.
Right.
So if Christian McCaffrey gets this procedure done today,
right,
he will be out through the end of October. That means, in my mind, optimistically, the first time we'll see Christian McCaffrey is after the bye week in week 10. And so, while that might not come across as great news or even breaking news, to me, it just begs the question, can the 49ers survive until that point? Like, can they survive the first 9 weeks of this regular season and put themselves in a position to have McCaffrey, if and when he's back, to hit the ground running and help this football team?
And that was a big reason why a lot of fans thought it would really behoove the 49ers to get off to a good start. And if McCaffrey's, and they have 8 games, and then week 9 is the bye, and then they have a game on November 10th, which, if you're right, and I believe you are, that would probably be the earliest we would see McCaffrey, November 10th, which would be the 49ers' 9th game of the season.
And that also doesn't ensure that he will be at 100% once he returns.
Right.
Because he's going to need to ramp up, and they're going to have to be careful, because he's got Achilles tendonitis, and you don't want to make it worse. So Christian McCaffrey is probably, like, I think best case scenario is he finds a way to be 100% towards the end of the season come postseason time. But with the way things are looking, like, you got to get there first.
Yeah.
And I was listening to Willard and Dibs yesterday, and I do agree with Dibs. 10 wins for this team right now at this point is a victory. Like, a 10 and 7 season as it currently stands for the 49ers, I think that's where you want to be. Like, aiming at 11 or 12 to me is out of the cards right now.
Yeah, I think maybe you don't think about the record at all at this point, and I'm probably sure they don't, but it's about hanging. I think it might just be about hanging in there right now. They don't have McCaffrey this weekend. They don't have Deebo Samuel this weekend. Obviously, Javon Hargrave is hurt. But, you know, the one thing I'm thinking is, if you want to look at the optimistic side, maybe we're looking at a scenario in which week 10 or week 11, the Niners are 6-4, and now here comes McCaffrey, and here comes Dre Greenlaw. And maybe that starts to change things. I will say this. This team right now looks like it's going to be in survival mode for the next 5-6 weeks. By the same token, they could get this right if their defense comes up with a couple big games in the process. And I think that's right now the biggest concern of this team. What's going on defensively, and why have they not been able to get the opposing team off the field on third down? And if they get that rectified, or if they make an improvement there, you know, I think things will look a lot better, obviously.
Well, but that's one of the issues with the defense right now, is it looks like it's eroding. You know, Javon Hargrave is out for the season, and I realize that a lot of people have not been happy with the kind of money that he makes and the production that he's given, but you're now thinner on your defensive line. You're thinner in the middle. And this is a defense signing that has given up 6.1 yards per play. That's abhorrent. That's objectively bad. Like, that is the 28th ranked yard per play defense in the NFL right now. And not a lot of it has been because they're just continually getting gashed, but they're giving up chunk plays. They're giving up explosive plays. And this is a defense that, at least I feel like, is talented enough on the back end to not get burnt as much as they've been burnt the first 3 weeks, particularly the last 2 weeks of this season.
Yeah, if you were to ask me, like, what's been the most disappointing part of the 49ers start, it's just they don't look cohesive. And I'm not – Kyle Shanahan's a great coach. All right, he's an excellent coach. Let's not use the word great, but he's a very good coach. He's great. He's excellent. He's very good. By the end of my sentence, he'll be average. But they don't look like a well-coached team right now. They look like every other team in the NFL during a year where the Niners seem to excel. I just when I watch the Niners in the Kyle Shanahan era, I just always feel like they have some kind of advantage, and they make the big plays when they need to and all that stuff. It just feels like more and more these 50-50 plays where they need to make a play, they just haven't been able to make it. And I wonder if it's a sign that there's a lot going on with this defense, or it's just a matter of a couple more big plays and you're back on track. So that's what we're getting into today on 95.7 The Game. We're also going to get into some other sports today. There's some other news, obviously, with baseball. The San Francisco Giants, they won their fifth in a row last night, right? Longest winning streak of the season.
Huh, was she?
Yeah. We got action over
it. I'm glad they decided to turn it on right when it mattered.
Well, you know, better late than ever. And we'll get into the A's. Last game tomorrow at the Coliseum. I got to tell you something about this. I'll do it on the other side, but it's actually starting to hit me about the Oakland A's, and I don't like it. I don't like it at all. We'll also be talking about the Warriors. There's some Warrior nuggets out there that we're going to get into, but it's the 49ers on the other side. We're going to get into some of their issues defensively and what is going on with them right now and whether they can get this thing back on track. What's coming up on The Game is presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. That segment brought to you by Lucky California.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, It can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Three, two. Yo, this is John Spider Sally, four-time NBA champion, and you are listening to Spiny and the Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right, Evan Giddings in for Darryl the Guru Johnson. Goo's got some stuff going on. We wish him the best, as always. Hey, you know what? I didn't tell you I was going to ask you this, but I'm gonna ask you this.
Hit me, Steiny.
How, the fake punt, were you surprised watching the game when they pulled off the fake punt, the Rams?
Yes.
I really was. I was surprised. And the more I thought, and forget Kyle Shanahan saying they knew it, but they didn't stop it. It was more that, you know, I'm thinking about that play. And if you're, you can only do that if you're kind of a certain kind of coach. Like, that's the kind of play where if you don't pull it off, I don't want to say that gets you fired, but if you're a young coach, and I know he's young, but if you don't have a lot of experience and you're doing stuff like that, I don't know that you're going to – I think a younger coach without the pedigree might look at that game and say, okay, we're down 14-0. We're a long shot to win this game anyway. Let's just punt this away so things don't get out of hand in a hurry. And I just thought it was a great time for it because I wasn't thinking it. I don't know what 49er fans were thinking. Maybe there were some fans thinking before the play, they're going to fake. But I did not see it coming, and obviously that's the best time to do it.
Well, yeah, like you're obviously not expecting a fake punt. But I will say this, and for a lot of people out there that did feel like it could be coming, the situation was probably, like, the probability of a fake punt was higher than most because the position they were at were on the field is, like, you're not going to fake a punt inside your own 30-yard line. They were somewhere between the 30 and midfield.
True.
It was also at a point in the game where you kind of have nothing to lose. You're down 14-0. If you give them the ball back, the game might be over if they go down and score because you're getting rolled. So it is a backup against the wall type of situation. And from that perspective, I can see why Shanahan said we expected it. The one thing I don't think he expected, usually a fake punt's a pass. They ran.
Yeah.
And so there was great execution on that side by the Rams. I think they also saw that there was only a few players on that side of the field for the Niners, and one of them that was supposed to seal the edge was Chris Conley, who's a wide receiver. So maybe there was something from the special teams coordinator that he saw that, you know, they audibled into it. But as far as, you know, timing, position on field, and situation, I can hear Shanahan saying, yeah, we saw that coming.
Yeah, 650 is kind of disagreeing a little bit. No, we all screamed it at the watch party. The guy on the Niners didn't contain on that side. That should never happen. Yeah, I didn't see it coming. And here's what I mean by maybe a younger coach as opposed to a guy who's already won a Super Bowl. But if you don't make that, the game's over. The game's essentially over. I'm being a little overly dramatic, but you're giving the ball back. So if that doesn't work, like, that's a big risk. It doesn't work, and you get down 21-0. Well, now it's a fait accompli. And I think it was one of those things where after the fake punt, then I looked at all of it and said, oh, man, what a perfect time for it. Once I, you know, assessed where they were, their injury situation, trying to get a spark from somewhere. But I wasn't thinking all those things before the play. I was thinking, they're just going to kick it down there. But then that's the other thing. I feel like McVay was thinking, if we kick it down there to the 10, They're just going to maybe not drive the field for a touchdown, but they're going to have the ball. And that fake punt accomplished so much because it effectively kept the 49ers from getting the ball the rest of the half, except for that last minute. And it just was a game changer. It was a gutsy call. It worked. And I'm not sure every coach tries to pull that out at that point.
Well, that along with some of the other gaffes, I think, highlight just how important special teams are.
Yeah.
It's one of those facets of the game where you don't notice it until there's a major, like just a cataclysmic F-up. Okay, so there was the fake punt that they got. If you want to throw in Jake Moody's 55-yard missed field goal to seal the game, that's technically a part of special teams. The week before, they had a blocked punt against Minnesota. You know, they've had three or four, of course, the final drive for the Rams, you know, a missed tackle on a punt, ends up getting to the 50-yard line. They go down and win the game. Like, those are plays that stand out that cost you that football game, and if they correct any single one of them, I think they have a very good chance at winning. So, I mean, to me, it just highlights the fact that this team isn't buttoned up.
Right.
Like, they're not a detail-oriented team, and I don't know if they've ever necessarily been on special teams, because you can go back through the Shanahan era and pick out a couple of special teams, you know, mishaps or whatever. But they clearly don't care about that facet of the game enough or that phase, and it came back to bite them in the ass against the Rams.
Yeah, and my question is, and let's talk about the defense for a sec. So they're not playing well after three games. I guess my question to 49er fans would be, I mean, Do you expect the defense to be an issue this season? Is that going to be the issue of this team? Or do you think it's something that will get straightened out? And I guess my question would be, well, how does it get straightened out? Is it simply that the guys who are really good players are going to start playing really well again? Is it going to be a case where they're going to struggle and hopefully they get Greenlaw back week 9 or 10 and then things start clicking? How much confidence do 49er fans have that this defense will eventually show itself? Because that's the part I can't figure out. I was reading Matt Barrow's story in The Athletic today, and it was in The Athletic, and it was Diana Russini. And she had this little nugget that said she talked to an L.A. Rams coach after the game, and he said something to the effect of, this has nothing to do with Brock Purdy. The 49ers defense, it's just not the same. And I wonder if that's something that's going to hold true for most of the season, or if it's something that is correctable. I'll throw that one out there at 888-957-9570. Where do you come down on that? And Nick Sorensen and Kenny do stuff to impact the game a little bit more?
Well, I think his job just got a lot more difficult with Hargrave being out.
Yeah, you know what? Can I address that?
Sure.
I may have understated just a little bit, but
well, it's okay. You haven't noticed him much, and
I haven't.
Haven't been. You know, it can't grind on the all 22 all the time.
No.
You know, you were focused on Bosa, focused on Floyd, who, by the way, has been underwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, really since just a couple moments in week one, Floyd has not really done much. You know, and that's, I guess that's my reason for concern about the defense, and I'm not sure. I'm sure Sorensen's trying, but I'm not really sure what he's going to be able to do long-term, because there are more weaknesses on this defense than we thought there was going to be. So, on the defensive line, now you have a hole with Hargrave out. Leonard Floyd doesn't look like the second edge rusher that he was supposed to be. Devondre Campbell is, the entire limelight is on him anytime he's on the field. He hasn't been as great against the run as people assumed, and he sure as hell can't guard anybody. On the back end, Isaac Yiadom, I think they went 5 of 5 against him, the Rams did, when he was outside.
Right.
So, like, they have holes, and they have holes that good play callers like Sean McVay and Kevin O'Connell for the Minnesota Rams will exploit. And that's, I think, their biggest issue right now, is how do they cover up those weaknesses? And at least through 3 weeks, you know, I mean, the Jets are kind of a different situation, but the last 2 weeks, they haven't been able to do it. So.
Yeah. And I'm looking at this is an interesting thing, because one of the things about football that I always, that seems to always happen, is you have an impression of a player, and then the stats don't back up your impression. And so I'm reading Matt Barrow's mailbag. He did a mailbag, Evan.
He's better than that.
And it says, here's the question. Watching Nick Bosa, he's been very pedestrian compared to the players of his ilk, like TJ Watt and Max Crosby. What gives? He's constantly doing the same, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Listen to this. Sacks, quarterback hits, quarterback pressures. Three numbers.
Mm-hmm.
JJ Watt, three sacks, five hits.
TJ.
I'm sorry. What'd I say?
JJ.
TJ Watt.
He's on the screen right now.
Yes. Yes, he is. Okay. Watt, three sacks, five quarterback hits, eight pressures. Max Crosby, three quarterback sacks, two quarterback hits, 11 total pressures. Nick Bosa, two sacks, three hits, 12 quarterback pressures. And what's written here is Bosa off to a burning hot start? No, but he's not lagging either. So that, I don't know if that's cause for concern, but it sure feels like I haven't noticed him like I have in past years. He does seem just a little less dominant.
Well, and I don't think you've noticed him in the moments where you expect to notice him.
I guess that's probably the way to put it.
I mean, T.J. Watt, I don't know about all three of his sacks, but I know that one of them was on a third down in the Chargers game. Like, that's a moment where you want your edge rusher to get to the quarterback and get that team off the field. He was able to do that. Max Crosby in the Baltimore game had a couple of big plays to help the Raiders win that football game. I'm not saying that Nick Bosa's two sacks don't count, but they came in a game in which they got pretty much dominated by the Minnesota Vikings. You know, he didn't make a big play in the Rams game. The one thing I will give him credit for, because Bosa doesn't do this often and he's going to have to continue to do it, he played 100% of the snaps on Sunday at the Rams. Now, does that mean he might be a little more gassed and isn't necessarily going to be as effective because the Niners generally like to rotate their linemen in? Perhaps. But that's something that he has not done very often. And so I do think he gets credit for being on the field and available for, what was it, like 60 snaps on defense.
Right.
So, okay, if he's going to play 100% of the snaps, which, by the way, Max Crosby also does, TJ Watt does not, but then you're going to have to keep that level because he's now more important than ever to this defensive line. And really, that's one thing that's been glaring, is that I don't think they've gotten enough pressure when they've needed to. The Vikings were incredible on third down. The Rams weren't better than the Niners on third down on Sunday, but they were better on third down when they needed to be down the stretch of that football game. And that's where you need those kind of star players, the players that make an ungodly sum of money to help you out. And neither Nick Bosa nor Brandon Ayuk were able to do that.
Yeah. 888-957-9570 is the number. Is this Niners defense going to get better? And if so, how much better are they going to get over the course of the season? Or do you guys think that this may be something that we're going to have to be worried about for much of this season? 888-957-9570. Let's go out to Frankie Eyelashes. Frankie Eyelashes.
Oh, my God.
What's up, Frankie?
What's up, kid? I haven't talked to you in a while, but you know what? I'm a big Raiders fan. I told you I gamble, I bet futures.
Sure.
And the 49ers didn't lose to a bad team. They lost to a Super Bowl contender, to a quarterback that throws bullets. Kyle Shanahan, and I've been saying it for years, it's his play calling in crucial games.
You know what, Frank? We got a bad connection.
Was he talking about the Vikings?
I think he was talking about the Rams.
Oh.
Frankie, you know, this has been a couple times. Frankie's phone stinks. His phone stinks.
Metro, I don't know.
I don't know either. We will go to the coach, though. The coach is in Vallejo. What's up, coach? How you doing, man?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Doing well.
And, you know, Steiny, great. You know, we don't always agree, but we do kind of think alike sometimes. And
okay.
I got to chuckle out when you said that, you talk about Shanahan, and you said, you know, by the end of the conversation, he'll be an average coach. You know, I got to chuckle out of that because That's exactly what Dak Prescott is. Throws for a million yards during the regular season. Fantasy football type of guy. You're going to get big points with Dak Prescott. But both Shanahan and Prescott come up short in the big games and in the playoffs. And I like to reserve greatness for someone winning championships.
Fair.
And Shanahan hasn't done, you know, and Shanahan hasn't done that. Now, you know, they show him on the sideline. He's sucking his lollipop. He got the baseball cap on, you know. But what has he actually done? Nothing in 8 years over here in San Francisco. He has done nothing. So Prescott and Shanahan, I kind of say they're kind of similar, you know.
All right.
What do you think?
Oh, wow.
Well, I don't think you can say Kyle Shanahan's done nothing.
I also don't think you can call him Dak Prescott. Yeah, and I think Goo would tell you the exact same thing.
Right. Well, the other thing, this is one of those things that is a topic for me forever. And it's always, just because a guy hasn't gotten it done, doesn't mean he'll never get it done. And I'm always fascinated why would people say Kyle Shanahan will never get it done. What happens if, you know, they find their way to another Super Bowl and they just blow the other team out? That could happen, and then Kyle Shanahan doesn't have to make any crucial decisions. And I'm not saying that would be the only way they want it, but how do people determine the people and the players and the coaches who'll never win it with the players and the coaches who just haven't won it yet?
Well, literally speaking, no Super Bowl coach that's lost twice has ever won. Like, you haven't, a coach that has gotten to a Super Bowl two times and lost their first two times has never won a Super Bowl. So there's that. But I don't think that's what they mean. To me, it's just, you've had, relatively speaking, he's had a lot of chances.
Yeah.
It's not just the head coach of the 49ers. I think people hold the 28-3 Patriots comeback against him as the play caller for the Falcons. He's been in a position in multiple locations to win a Super Bowl, and he hasn't done it. And a lot of people don't get two, or even if you want to throw three chances in there. A lot of people just get one.
Right.
And you got to cash in. And he hasn't been able to do that. And we're starting to find out this season just how rare it is to just all of a sudden run it back and get back to an NFC Championship game, or look like you have the ability to, because injuries can happen, or maybe players don't perform like they did the year before, or, I don't know, your coaching staff gets picked apart by other teams, and so they have to figure out stuff. Like, yeah, I don't think it's gotten to a 2020 point yet, Steiny, but we're another injury away from feeling like it is.
2020, you mean the year they, what were they, 6-10 or something like that?
Yeah, Jimmy Garoppolo tore his ACL. Nick Bosa got hurt. Everyone was done. The season felt over by week 4.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the one thing I will say is I think as long as they got, I can't believe I'm saying, as long as they got Purdy, they'll probably win enough games to, I think they're going to be able to, if McCaffrey comes back midseason and Greenlaw comes back, let's say week 10 or 11, I do think they're going to have enough wins to be in it at that point. I just can't see this team being 3-7 after 10 games. I still see this team as worst case scenario 5-5, let's say after 10 games, but I don't see this team, you know, I just don't see this team crashing. Well, in a big way.
Well, I certainly hope they don't, but I also think that we learned this weekend that a damn near perfect Purdy game was not good enough to help you win. This isn't an indictment of Brock, as Dino Rossini said. It wasn't his fault. I totally agree with that. But he played as close to a perfect football. That might have been his best individual performance in the regular season of his career, and they lost the game. And they didn't lose because of Brock. They lost because their defense didn't make plays. They lost because their special teams got taken advantage of. They lost because of coaching, because of scheming, because of production from players that are expected to be stars that weren't. They didn't lose because of Brock Purdy. But there might also be some games where Brock isn't as good where he was on Sunday. And he's going to need to be as good as he was against the Rams, I think, if they're going to survive the next, you know, 6 or 7 weeks.
It doesn't feel like, you know, I was talking to Shasky before the show, and I just said, yeah, it just feels like something's wrong. Like, and I'm not saying it's just one thing. It just doesn't feel like they're They're together right now. And if you feel that way, then you start to think, well, what could it be? And I don't know. Kyle Shanahan is in his eighth year. A coach's voice sometimes loses a little of its oomph over time. Is there any chance that, I don't want to say he's losing the locker room, but is he losing his voice a little among the players in the locker room? And then you can't help but think more about the Aiyuk situation and what is going on there. And the funny thing is it feels, I think everybody acknowledges something's going on, even if it's the very least of all the big worries, which would be, yeah, still rusty. But it feels like it's more than that with Brandon Aiyuk. It kind of feels like it's more than that with all their issues. Christian McCaffrey, well, he could play if it's a regular season game. Well, now he's on the injured list. Now he's probably going to miss half the season. So it just feels like a lot of things right now are snowballing. And I don't know. Do you have confidence that it's going to stop? And I'm not just talking about the injuries. You can't do anything about the injuries. But, you know, what does this team have to do with the personnel it has right now to be a better football team?
What can it do?
Yeah.
Play better.
No doubt.
I mean, it's not like they don't have players. It's not like they don't have talent. I just don't think the last couple of weeks they've been disciplined and buttoned up. And I think they've also, they probably took their opponent for granted last week. I don't know about the Vikings. The Vikings look like a good group, but that Rams team, it looked like to me watching that game, especially after the first two drives where they just marched right down the field and went up 14-0, that they thought because of the names on their back that the Rams were just going to roll over. That they just expected because they're in front of a 75% 49ers crowd on the road. They're up 14 points. That's the game the Niners last year run away with by 30 points. Like that's the game last year that they take every single knockout punch and just deliver it blow after blow after blow. And that's what I took away from that game on Sunday, and Brock Purdy said it. This team's different than last year.
Yeah.
They might have some of the same parts, but this is a very different football team.
And it's a different year. And last year's success doesn't guarantee anything this year. 888-957-9570 is the number. I also want to get into this. They're a veteran team. And in football, when is veteran code for old? Is this becoming an older team right before our eyes? We can talk about that on the other side at 888-957-9570. All right, at 7 p.m. right here on 95.7 The Game, we will be airing a two-hour special on mental health featuring some of the biggest names in music, news, and sports, and some of the most respected mental health professionals. I'm Listening is our two-hour special spreading awareness about mental health and the message that talk saves lives. The show will be hosted by Carson Daly, and it's available on the Odyssey app. For more info, visit imlistening.org.